This is Windows Observer Launch Control. We are just seconds away from the start of the Observe Tech podcast. Stand by for final sequencing and launch. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And we have launch of the Observe Tech podcast. Keeping an eye on Windows and other things tech, here is your host, Richard Hay of WindowsObserver.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 78, or as I'm going to call this episode, episode 7.8. Thanks to my fellow MVP, William Devereaux, as I tweeted out that I was about to sit down and record episode 78, he responded back with a 7.8 and a smiley face, and of course, he's referring to the recent release and rollout by Nokia, at least Nokia so far, of the Windows Phone 7.8 update for all of the folks that are still on Windows 7.5, which was called Mango. So it's a great hook. I really do like that concept because 7.8 is important to a lot of people. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit on later as we get into the news roll. Want to remind everybody as we get kicked off here that we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's there. So please check out techpodcast.com. Today is the 31st of January, 2013, and that means it is the last and final day that Microsoft's special upgrade pricing for Windows 8 Pro is going to be available, including the free Windows Media Center pack. That all comes to an end today. So right now, before today is gone, wherever today is in your world, and I'm saying 31 January 2013, if you listen to this after the 1st of February, then today doesn't matter anymore, okay? So if you hear it today, you can go download the Windows 8 Upgrade Assistant. It'll run you through the process. You can pay with PayPal or credit card. It's $39.99 for that Windows 8 Pro upgrade on any computer running Windows XP Service Pack 3 or above. Even the betas and the those types of OSs are also possible to upgrade. So it's a great deal. The pricing will return to normal. Now, everybody's saying the pricing's going up over 400%. The cost of the upgrade is going back up to $199.99 for the Pro upgrade, which is the same price Microsoft charged for the Windows 7 Pro upgrade 3 years ago. So no increase in the cost. The Windows 8 version, which is kind of equivalent to Windows 7 Home Premium, will cost $119.99, and that is the same exact cost the Windows 7 version cost 3 years ago. So what Microsoft has really done here is offered a great deal since release, since the end of October, for all of us to purchase Windows 8 Pro and get upgraded and get our systems upgraded and even upgrade some of those older systems we have, and giving us a great deal at $40 a pop. That's coming to an end. And you need to think, if you want it, you better grab it today. If you don't, then you will be paying the normal upgrade prices unless you buy it on a brand new PC. So you want to do that. I'm going to kick off the discussion today in this episode of the podcast talking a little bit about computing devices. There has been a tremendous discussion in the last week or so, and the same thing happened right before Microsoft Surface RT came out, and it was a whole discussion about storage space. Now, those of us that are regular users of Windows or have been purchasing PCs or building PCs even and installing our own Windows on them, we know that the reality is that the OS takes up space. The recovery partition takes up space. So when you buy a 320 gigabyte hard drive and you put it in your computer and you install Windows on it, it's not going to have 320 gigabyte of space left. Part of the reason this has become such an issue is because we are seeing smaller hard drive sizes in these new wave of different form factors for Windows devices, such as the convertibles, the laptops, the notebooks, the Microsoft Surface RT, and the soon-to-be Surface Pro. And so the reality is storage space is a little more critical. And Windows is Windows, and it's going to take up some space. So there's been a lot of stories posted in the last week about how, you know, Surface Pro is only going to arrive with 83 gigabyte of space if you buy the 128 gig version, or only, I think it's 23 gig of space if you buy the 64 gig version or something like that. So lots of complaining going on. But I wrote a post, and it's opinion piece. You know, A PC that looks like a tablet, like the Surface, is still a PC, at least it is for now. And the reason I wrote this is because our concept of what a tablet is based on an iPad. Everybody, they kind of established that generic brand of tablet as anytime we see an iPad, we think tablet, and therefore we translate that same definition to other devices. And there's no doubt that the Surface, both in the shape of the RT and of the Pro, look like a tablet. I mean, they don't have an attached keyboard unless you have the touch or type cover. They have that full-blown touch screen. They sit in your hand. You interact it with touch, or you can add the keyboards to it. That makes it more of a workstation or a portable workstation. So there is no doubt that we are going through a tremendous shift in our perception of what a tablet is or isn't, what a PC is or isn't. You know, I said in the article, we are in the post-PC area because we need to completely redefine what we know as a computing device. They're coming in all kinds of shapes and sizes, and we have to really become aware of that and shed some of these old perceptions and habits of how we look at things and how we expect things to be. It's a good discussion. I think it's an interesting one, and it's one that's going to go on for a while because we're seeing more and more form factors come out that are doing things differently. And let me tell you, the Surface is not the only devices that are coming out with an advertised, you know, size of a hard drive that aren't getting all that space to the end user on the ultimately because the OS takes up space. The recovery partition takes up space. One of the features in Windows 8 is the whole recovery reset that needs a partition to be able to restore those things easily from and quickly. So I did some research and I found the method for those that I'd seen it talked about that you could take and move the recovery partition from your Surface tablet. And I'm talking Surface RT right now because I can't test this with Pro. Obviously, it's not out for another week or so. But I was actually able to go through and remove the recovery partition from my Surface RT, put it on a flash USB drive, a 4 gigabyte one is what I used. And actually, I used an 8 gig drive, but you only have to have a minimum of 4. And it freed up about 3.5 gigabytes of space. So I went from 12.2 to 15.7 gigabyte free on my Surface. Free space for me on the Surface RT is not a problem. I have a lot of stuff stored in the clouds, and I routinely back up things that I create on there into the cloud or save them directly to the cloud. So, and then of course, don't forget Surface RT and Surface Pro both come with a micro SD card slot that you can add up to a 64 gigabyte chip. And with the cost they are these days, you can get all kinds of storage. But again, if you want to save that 3.5 gigabyte of space, please check out the post that I wrote on the, I got snapshots of the screen to show you the different steps and how you go through doing it. It was very simple. Took me less than 15 minutes to do. All right. The other big deal that happened this past week was Office 365 was released to consumers. So that means it's a whole new world now. We've been talking about this for several months. It's a subscription-based service that's available where you can subscribe to Office 365 Home Premium for $99.99 a year, and that is allowed to be installed on up to 5 devices in your home. It very flexible. It downloads from the web. You can be offline to use it. There's no need to constantly be connected to use these things, but it's a whole new world. They also released Office 2013, which comes on a DVD install that's allowed to be on one computer and one computer only. So lots of changes when it comes to Office 2013 and Office 365 Home Premium. So you want to make sure you read up on this kind of stuff and make sure you're aware of what's going on with it before you make a decision on what the best option is for you. And I do have a link to a story at ZDNet about what you need to know about Home Premium. A story at Windows IT Pro about the two new versions and how they kind of lay out. A post I wrote about how you can try them for free. There's a way to try both Office 365 and Office 2013, which are the same programs. They're just delivered differently, and they're licensed a little bit differently based on how you install them. How you can try them out for free. There is a one-month free trial of Office 365 Premium, and there is a I believe it's a 60-day free trial of Office 2013, which I think can be renewed for up to 180 days. There's also a good story from ZDNet relating to Office 365. Now that it's a subscription-based service, what happens when your subscription expires? Because there are some bennies you get when you subscribe to Office 365 Home Premium, including 20 gigabyte of extra SkyDrive storage, 60 minutes of Skype calling minutes. So this, it's a great article that explains what happens to all that stuff when your subscription expires and you don't renew. And just any of you who are connected to a business that you're looking for these opportunities and how they might be able to save your business money, the release of all these new versions of Office 2013 and Office 365 for your business will come at the end of February. So just a few more weeks away for that. And I also included another article from GeekWire that talks about the yearly subscriptions for home users. And I'm telling you, the yearly subscription is, if you're in a home with more than a couple, two computers, it's worthwhile, even if you don't have five, because it allows you so much flexibility for that cost. You get the latest updates when they're released and published. So they download to your machine automatically. You get a prompt, you install them, and you have the latest version. And this is perpetual. So that means every year, as long as you pay your $100, you retain that license. And so when the next version of Microsoft Office comes out, if that's Office, let's see, 2016, let's say, you get those updates for free as long as you're still paying your $100 subscription. A lot of people right now are still running Office 2007 because they paid for it, and it's, you know, that's been, what, now 6 years? But people do it that way. People are still using Office 2010. That's the most recent version before the release of 2013. So in the long run, that $100 a year will actually save you money in the long run because you're allowed to use it on up to five PCs, plus you get the extra bonuses that go with it. So please check that out. If you're looking for Office or you want to try it out, there are ways to do that. So check the show notes, and we'll have a link there for you. Over this past weekend, Nokia, on their Conversations blog, released the news that they are unveiling a Nokia Music Plus service, which will be options for streaming music to their Nokia Music app. I guess that was an exclusive on the Lumia handset, but it may be moving to Windows Phone in general. But this is going to be a $4 a month subscription here in the U.S., and I think it's €4 is the equivalent overseas in Europe, which is actually more than just $4. But it's going to give you a lot of flexibility and limited skipping and several other things that they're going to let you do. I've used the Nokia Music app on my phone, and it is a very good app. It has some decent mixes on it and allows you to listen to music, but you do run into that. I got to listen to a commercial every once in a while, just like you do with the free Xbox music streaming. And I think Nokia Music Plus is going to compete with Xbox Music, because right now Xbox Music is going through some growing pains. There's a lot that you can't do with it, and it's causing a lot of frustration for people. So Nokia Music might just garner some attention for that very inexpensive price. It's $4 compared to $10 for the Xbox Music subscription. So keeping an eye on that, watching it, because I think that's going to draw a lot of folks into that kind of realm. And there is talk that there's going to be a desktop app for Windows 8 built that will allow you to access Nokia Music Plus. Again, not unlike the music app that's included in Windows 8. So that is one to keep an eye on, because that's going to create a little bit of competition there. And it's interesting to see Nokia doing this, because they're in such a partnership with Microsoft on the Windows Phone platform, for them to be infringing on the Xbox Music aspect of things with Windows 8 and on the mobile platform. So we'll be watching that. There's going to be a link to that on the show notes as well. This Sunday here in the United States is February 3rd. And that means Super Bowl 47 is going to be played, watched worldwide. A lot of people tune into the Super Bowl that don't watch football any other time of the year. But there's lots of ways to watch. They're going to stream it online. There's apps. There's all kinds of stuff and ways to interact with the Super Bowl and to see the commercials, which is very popular during the Super Bowl as well. So I got you a great link to a CNET article about Super Bowl 47 and all the different methods that you can connect to it and watch it. Along with the 2013 Office 2013 Office 365 Home Premium release this week, the guy at Microsoft in charge of Office, talked about the new software, the new subscription model, and his belief is that within 10 years, every customer will subscribe to get updates to their software, not only Office but others. So it'll be interesting to keep an eye on that. Heard on ZDNet on Mary Jo Foley's blog all about Microsoft, that Microsoft has opted to close down their Times Square retail store. This store was opened on the eve of the Surface RT debut, October 25th, in the 26th timeframe when Windows 8 was released to the mainstream. And they have been selling products from there since then. But interestingly enough, with the Surface Pro release in just a week, they've closed down the store, so there will not be any Surface Pro release there at the Times Square store. They are hosting an event, a private dinner, on Friday night, the 8th of February, to an invited list of people, and they're going to meet with Panos Panay, the general manager for Surface at Microsoft, and then they're going to stroll over to the Best Buy in Union Square so that those folks get the first opportunity to buy the new Microsoft Surface Pro. Wish I had some time available, and I would go up there in a heartbeat to check that out and see how things are received up there, although I will be here locally. In my area, I will be checking out any midnight launches that occur at any of the other retail outlets like Best Buy or Staples if they're holding any. Let's see. This was another blog post by Mary Jo Foley from ZDNet. It looks like Microsoft is testing an Outlook client for Windows RT. Now, if you've been on Windows RT on the Surface or any other device, you know the mail program that comes with Windows 8. You even see it on the desktop version. It's okay. It's kind of like Windows. You remember was Express Windows Live? The mail program that was called Express. Gosh, I'm drawing a total blank on that name. But you know, it's okay. It lacks a lot of functionality. It could really use some improvements in both the UI and the capabilities. But it is what it is, and it's what comes with Windows 8 now. But there's a lot of talk about this Outlook client for RT and whether they should or shouldn't release it. Apparently, it is there. It's running at Microsoft. And the big discussion is whether or not to release it for RT. I think it would be great to have a robust mail client available on the RT platform. Can I get by when I'm traveling with the Microsoft Mail app? Yes, I can. Plus, you got the web. You know, with Outlook.com now, the web is as interactive as any app is. So can you survive without it? Yes, but it would really allow you to go take it to a whole nother level when it came to email and the ease of moving stuff around, especially if you store stuff in a very structured manner like I do. So we're gonna watch that. I would really love to see that Outlook client become available, or you know, even a modern app built for mail that would be very similar to that platform. The Xbox 360, we know that in December it was 24 months, 2 years, that the Xbox 360 has been the top-selling console in the United States. Although when Microsoft did its financial reports last week, it did take a decline, Xbox 360 and the entertainment division did. And they think that's the Kinect effect, which I've talked about how that extended the life of the Xbox 360. Well, this Kinect effect is starting to fade away now. And it makes a lot of sense, actually, because when you look at the fact that this year we're fully expecting a new Xbox platform and a new device, obviously Kinect is going to be a big part of that device. People are going to start making decisions not to buy a new device now and wait for the new one. So no doubt that impact is both twofold. It's a little bit of, okay, everybody's got the Kinect out there that wants it, and it's not pushing a lot of device sales, and we're going to have a new platform, a new console soon. And I think PlayStation is suffering from the same type of thing when they made their financial announcements. A good story on GeekWire this past week about the Windows 8 launch. You know, we talked last week about the Acer president continuing to poke at Microsoft and Windows 8 and its poor performance and how that's had this horrible impact on his business. Although, you know, when I wrote about it, I pointed out that it's 2 years now that they've had significant declines in their bottom line. But, you know, the first year they had that decline, Windows 8 wasn't around. So they couldn't, you know, Windows 8 was not the reason for that. And I read an excellent article by Paul Thurrott recently with this very similar argument that, you know, they need to be looking internal to Acer as to why things are going. And then on top of all of that, Lenovo, who just posted a great quarter, has come out and said that Windows 8 is making a massive difference in their sales and what they're doing. So, you know, there's going to be some folks that will continue to be unhappy with Windows 8. And, you know, Acer has decided that they're going to make a move towards the Chromebooks, that they believe they're selling more Chromebooks than they do Windows 8 devices at this moment. Although it's a pretty wide number, they said they believe 5 to 10%. Let's see. Oh, and anyway, the story on GeekWire was about limited assortment of touch devices. That's an argument that's been popping up and over again. We've seen the stories about supply lines not being able to fulfill the touchscreen needs of all the OEMs, and maybe that's starting to repair itself now. And we saw a lot of great touch devices during CES earlier this month. So I think that's going to improve. But that might have very well been why there was a very soft launch between October and January now, because a lot of those devices were not out yet. A lot of OEMs held them. They kept them back for CES and wanted to announce them there. My buddy McCakin's online posted about the official CNN app for Windows 8 is now being in the store. So that's another big name that has come on board with the Microsoft Store format and have got their app in there. Surface RT versus the Samsung Chromebook. This is an excellent article from ZDNet that compares the two and the pros and cons of each device, especially when you're traveling, specifically when you're traveling. And I think it's a very balanced look at things. Both devices, by this author's account, has pros and cons, and he just lays them things out there and allows you to make a decision on what works best for you based on what he found to be the pros and cons of traveling with those two different devices. So a very good article, and one I really like because it gives a balanced perspective. It's not skewed one way or the other. If you are still on Yahoo Mail, you might want to be paying attention to some of your email. There is an exploit out there that ARS Technica and other sites have picked up on. Apparently, Yahoo has not fixed an issue with WordPress from a few cycles ago that was a cross-scripting vulnerability, and that is allowing Yahoo Mail users to get hacked and get access to bank information and things like that. So this is an excellent article that's actually a personal perspective because of this person's neighbor, and they know this. The author is a tech person and came and got them involved when they got they got hacked. And it's a good read into how this kind of thing can impact people. So again, something we always focus on, something we always emphasize, you got to be paying attention, you got to be careful, and you can be 99.9% careful, and that one time you get caught, it's going to be very bad because it just is. It's not a pleasant experience. So something to take a look at. You may have read the story that last weekend, effective on Sunday, the ability to unlock cell phones is gone. It's now illegal, unless it's carrier authorized or carrier performed, to unlock or what's called jailbreak your phone, your handset, your smartphone. So a good story to read about that. But I also got a post here from How To Geek where he explains the difference between jailbreaking a phone, rooting a phone, or unlocking a phone. So if you're unfamiliar with those terms and what it may or may not mean for you when it comes to the law, you can check out the How To Geek post to identify the differences between each one. We must be getting very close to Internet Explorer 10 coming out. The Exploring IE blog posted yesterday about the new modern.ie website where you can go and type in a web address and test that website and see how it will perform on IE 10. You'll get some feedback as to, hey, you're good to go, or you might have a few yellow things that need to be addressed and checked out, or you may have some red issues, and it gives you tips and it gives you information about how to improve things. I know I ran WindowsObserver.com through there this morning, and I got some tips about adding some code to my pages that would allow touch to be a bigger interaction, because it really does take a lot of time to look at touch and how well your site will interact with touch. So if you have a website, you build a website, you run one, check it out. Run it through the modern.ie website and see what it has to tell you about your site's layout. We're talking a lot about licensing when it comes to Office 2013 and Office 365 Home Premium, Windows 8, the Media Pack. And there's an excellent blog post from the Microsoft Gulf Community blog. This is one of the MSDN blogs. And the title is Need Answers to Your Microsoft Licensing Questions, and they give a great resource to answer every question you've got relating to licensing Microsoft products and how that works and to keep yourself legal. So you definitely want to check that out. I'm not sure this is much of a surprise, but apparently Twitter doubled in its size in 2012 based on a study, so you can check out some stats from alltwitter.com and see how much they've grown and what areas they've grown in. I know I still see a lot of different very spammy accounts and the follow me accounts that pop up on my follow list. I just manage them as best I can every day and deal with the spammy ones and report them if I need to, or block them if I need to do that. So Twitter growth, no big surprise there. Microsoft Surface sales. Here is another analyst who's saying that Microsoft Surface sales are well below shipments. Now it's interesting, this came out a couple weeks after a bunch of other analysts said that the sales were rounded down to a million. This person's going even lower. They're going somewhere in the ballpark of 600,000 to 750,000 of the Surface RT devices being sold. But, I don't know. Who knows for sure? We know that last week at the financials, Microsoft did not reveal a sales number for Surface RT. So we're not quite sure what's going on there. We do know Surface Pro, there's analysts that are saying 2.5 million of them. There's others saying their initial shipment is for 1 million of them. See how that goes. I personally think the Pro is going to be much more popular because of the fact of its full compatibility backwards with former, with previous versions of Windows legacy software and things of that nature. I find RT to be a great device for myself. It's a perfect companion device, and it will do me well for short trips and traveling and things like that. I can be as productive on it as I need to be, and then when I'm at home, you know, the desktop and use the Surface as a consumption device. And occasionally use it for creating content as well. But who knows? You know, I did catch on that this analyst company is called iSupply. Now, that's not spelled E-Y-E supply. It's spelled little I, capital S-U-P-P-L-I. So, I have a little hesitation when I see the names of companies that are imitating our favorite producers out of Cupertino of the iDevices, and they stick a little I in front of their name. Does that give them association with Apple in some way, or I don't know. So I noticed that a little while ago when I was looking at the stuff I was writing up for the show, and I saw that little I in front of the iSupply, and I was like, oh man, that just doesn't sit well. Analysts are guessing. They're trying to source information from several different places, and they're ultimately making a guess. And you know what? Until the day comes that Microsoft comes out and tells us how much they've sold or how many they've sold, anything else is a guess. And so we need to just wait to see what that happens. Now, does it lend well to not telling if they weren't huge, massive numbers? Of course, because if it was huge, massive numbers, you'd be tooting your horn. So I think it's somewhere in between. I think it's somewhere in the middle range, especially with Surface RT. And I tend to agree with a lot of people who said Pro should have come out first and then RT. So, you know, here we are. We're just a week away from RT. We'll see what the crowds are like and see how popular it is, and then we'll go from there. So we'll keep an eye on things. And anything from an analyst, we take with an eye grain of salt. You may remember recently an entire discussion that Google Sync protocols were going to be removed as of tomorrow from Windows Mobile support, Windows Phone. Well, big breaking news this week was the fact that it's been extended for 6 months. So until July, those protocols are still going to be available to those of us on the mobile platform. But one big difference is that tomorrow they go away on the desktop side. So that means an app like Windows Mail app on Windows 8 will not work with Google accounts. I've got my Google account plugged in there. I'm not sure what's going to happen as of tomorrow, but we'll keep an eye on that. But it did get a 6-month extension on the mobile side. The desktop side, it's not going to change. And so you need to be paying attention to that, especially if you use those types of accounts. So I've linked to a blogging Windows article written by Brandon LeBlanc that talks about those services and makes some recommendations, which the main recommendation is switch to Outlook.com. They've got a great process to get you switched from Gmail to Outlook.com. Now you're totally compatible with all your Windows devices, so maybe a move to Outlook.com is appropriate at this time, especially on the desktop side. And if you're going to make that move desktop side, of course, you make that move on your mobile platform, which Windows Phone connects very easily to Outlook.com. It does it in a very automatic way that makes it easy to set up. Great story here from ZDNet. This is one I've been thinking about, that I've been thinking about writing, and this guy beat me to the punch. And the title is Why Ballmer Doesn't Want Office on the iPad. And he hits on points that were just in the back of my head thinking about this whole thing. Now think about it. We know that the Apple devices, the iPad, the iPhone, and all the different sizes and shapes and forms are huge. What did they sell last quarter? 23 million of them. So they're just tons and tons and tons of them out there. You're seeing them in the enterprise more and more. Granted, they're not very manageable in the enterprise, but they're there. Well, what do you think would happen if Office for iPad was released and now those iOS devices could get Office functionality? I think that would undermine the attempts of Microsoft to have a unique aspect to their Surface tablets in the enterprise network and being able to run Office. Now, the Surface Pro obviously is going to be able to run Office. We know that Surface RT comes with Office 2013 RT, so you have the basic apps available there. Why would you want to give a foothold to your competitor in the enterprise by giving them an enterprise software suite? By giving them, now granted, you're going to sell it and you're going to make money off of that, okay, but you are going to give up a major, major foothold in your niche, in your thing, to get on those devices. And there are so many of those devices out there, I don't know why you would want to do that. And this article hits that right on the head on why Microsoft should not be thinking about Office on the iPad. Now, the reporting continues to be that there's indications and there's things out there that indicate that iPads and the iOS devices are going to get an Office-type program. I don't know whether they're true or not. We'll have to keep an eye on that, obviously. But in reality, do you want to give that kind of a foothold to your competitor's device by giving them one of your huge, huge, unique capabilities, and that's in the Office suite? So we will be watching that closely. Story from Windows Phone Central for all of you Windows Phone users out there. Preview 3 of the Windows Phone app for desktop has been released. Now, this app will run on Windows 8 and Windows 7, and it is for connecting your Windows Phone to your desktop to be able to sync pictures and music back and forth. This is not a modern app. This runs outside of the Windows Store. So, and it works with Windows Phone 8 as well as Windows Phone 7. What happened before is the Zoom client software that we used to use to sync our Windows Phone no longer works with the Windows Phone 8. So this is the ultimate replacement for that, but it is very basic. It does not give near the flexibility that we had in Zoom. So we'll be keeping an eye on it and seeing if it grows any or see if it develops any of those features. But the preview, the third preview, is available out there for download, and you can try it out. Yesterday, big day for BlackBerry, who we used to know as RIM or Research in Motion. They launched their new BlackBerry 10 operating system along with two new devices, the Z10 and the Q10. The Z10 is a full touchscreen device. The Q10 has their standard QWERTY keyboard at the bottom end of the screen. You know, I've read a lot of the reviews. The reviews are very mixed. It was a strange launch event for many, many different reasons, and you can read my post about that. I thought it was very flat and unemotional, unenthusiastic. You know, the first thing they really do is cut a guy's ponytail off. Okay, I guess that's one way to kick off a launch event. But it really was very flat. They also lifted the embargo on all the reviews right in the middle of it. So I think they lost a lot of eyeballs to go read the reviews of people who'd had the device in their hand for a couple weeks. So we will be seeing more and more information about that. I think your diehard BlackBerry fans are going to go there. They're going to be on that platform no matter what. Do I think it's going to cut into the overall market? It's going to cut in some. It looks like it has some pretty neat features, but there's a lot of questions about the fact that a large chunk of the apps that are on the platform, like 40,000 of them, are Android apps that run in an emulator on the handset in the OS, the BlackBerry 10 OS. And based on a couple of the reviews, they're very sluggish and don't run well on there. So it was interesting, during the demo they didn't show any app demos. They mainly focused on the BlackBerry 10 OS piece of the things, as opposed to showing you different apps running on the platform. So still more to be seen there. Will it make a big difference? Who knows? Wall Street wasn't real thrilled. Their stock continues to be down today after the launch yesterday. So big unknown for them. And could this be their last effort? Could this be their last huge push to try to regain some traction in this world? I know BlackBerry is a very big fan in the enterprise. They like the security and things like that. Windows Phone's trying to make a push in there too. So it does create some competition on that level. As I led off episode 78 or episode 7.8 of the Observe Tech podcast, we talked about the Windows Phone 7.8 rollout to older Lumia handsets that started yesterday. I've been tracking it on Twitter and see that a lot of different people have gotten the updates. They're happy with the new screen, the new adjustable size tiles. Some folks just totally flabbergasted that there's no screenshot brought forward in this one to be able to take screenshots either, like the Windows Phone 8 handsets do. Some of the features came, some did not. So people are getting the download to kind of refresh their old second generation Lumia handsets, and others are getting it as well, not only the Nokia stuff. But is it enough? I do want to link you to a story on Windows Phone Central that has a little cheat sheet shortcut. Maybe you can force the update to be noticed for your handset using your Zoom software and be able to get it a little bit quicker than just waiting for the normal rollout process. So you can check that out. But I did write about this last weekend. Is Windows Phone 7.8 update a little too little too late? There's a lot of users out there who felt abandoned on the Lumia 900 handsets and all those handsets that came out early last year, because within just a very short period of time, Microsoft announced Windows Phone 8, the fact it would not be able to go on those old handsets due to hardware limitations, and a lot of people were very upset, myself included, because we had jumped in there on day one, bought the new handset, this flagship Lumia 900, and then only found out a few months later that it was now obsolete, that it was never going to get any significant update to itself. This 7.8 update, I think, came about to just kind of reassure people, hey, here's something for you. And now they're getting it now in the month of late January, early February. And if you were a brand new buyer last April, you're still waiting for October this year to be in an early upgrade window if you wanted to try to upgrade to a Windows Phone 8 handset. So there's a lot of folks not real thrilled, but is this enough? Is this enough to make them happy for the next several months until they're able to upgrade to a Windows Phone 8 handset? Who knows? Only they know, and only they can tell us. So if you are not happy with this or you are happy with it, make sure you jump on the comments of the show page and you let us know how you feel about that. Microsoft has released their first real multi-platform game this past week. It's called Skulls of the Shogun. It is available on Windows Phone, Windows 8 PCs, on Surface RT, and the Xbox 360, and it all syncs together. Your achievements from one to the other match up, and it's unlike some of the games now that if I play one game on my Windows 8 desktop or I play it on Surface RT or play it on my phone, they don't talk to each other, so you're redoing achievements and things of that nature. This one is truly cross-platform enabled where you can go from one to the other. This is what was demoed in those early days of Windows Phone development, that you could move from one platform to the other seamlessly and pick up your game right where you left off. Well, Skulls of the Shogun is the first real program to come out to cross all those barriers, so it's something you probably want to check out. I believe they finally sorted out the ability to, the pricing is such on each platform that to buy it for all would be as if you were buying it one time, because I guess the system's not set up to allow you to purchase in one market, one store, and have it be available to all the other platforms, which hopefully that's something, as this starts to become more of a norm, that Microsoft is doing to make that process easier. But according to a post from Major Nelson, going out and buying each of those on the different platforms would be equal to having bought it in one purchase for all platforms. Okay, now we talked earlier about all these Windows 8 offers that are expiring today for upgrades. One that is coming along that will start tomorrow is for students and university campus tour that's coming around, and they are going to be given an opportunity to pay, I think it's $79 for the Windows 8 Pro upgrade starting tomorrow, and there's criteria that you have to meet for that, and they are going around to different university and campuses with this offer as well. So if you're a student in university, you want to check that out, because that's that is a great savings on what the normal retail upgrade price is of $199.99. Dropbox, there's always great little lines from Steve Ballmer. I guess he was talking about their financials and stuff like that. Somebody asked him about Dropbox, and he referred to Dropbox as a fine little startup. And a lot of people are making a deal about that, because it's kind of a norm for Mr. Ballmer to look at those kind of somebody who's competing against services from Microsoft. And they were talking about Office 2013. So he may have been asked something to the effect of, is it a threat? Are you concerned? And I think when you look at the users that are on SkyDrive, as well as Office subscriptions and Office, installed user base, it is not a significant worry for him right now. As GeekWire points out in the article, though, too many times when this kind of thing occurs, that usually comes back to bite in some way, because that upstart or that product that he was asked about comes into play and makes a big difference. So again, something else we're going to be keeping an eye on. Want to send you to a great link at all Twitter. This thing is called TweetPing, And what it is when you bring up the screen, it is a real-time display of where tweets are happening all over the world, and it breaks it down by continent, and it's got a great graphic background, and a little white dot appears every time a tweet is sent from somewhere. And as you sit there and watch it, this picture grows where you start to see the emphasis of where populations are that are tweeting. And to me, it looks a lot like a map of the Earth at night and the way you see lights in very populated areas. And I think it kind of correlates with that. But it is a really neat thing to spend a little bit of time just killing some spare time if you got a few minutes to pull this thing up and let it watch or run it in the background and watch it as it develops over time. Just a really neat thing called TweetPing. Final post I want to point out to you is from Paul Throd at Windows IT Pro. And he goes into great detail about how PC makers are not learning from history. And he talks about Acer's Jerry Wong and his perception of what's working and not working. He talks about Lenovo's successes. He talks about how netbooks really were the downfall of the PC market because they were cheap, inexpensive, meant to run Linux. Then Microsoft got in there running Windows 7 on them. And Paul goes into great detail about this process and how if PC makers don't pay attention, they are going to repeat history. And you see it across history that if we don't learn from the past or learn from our mistakes, we are doomed to repeat them. So it's a great article to take a look at. So please take a moment to look at that as well. And with that, I'm going to bring the show to a close. I do have one more piece of business, though. All of this month and last, we have been holding a contest on a post we did on a review of the Microsoft Wedge Touch Mouse and Wedge Keyboard. Great mobile devices. I gave them a test out. They've got their pros and cons. I enjoyed using them. And thanks to the courtesy of Microsoft Hardware, I am able to give those away to somebody. So for the last 6 weeks or so, we've been having a contest on the site and on that blog post with the review on it that if you left a comment, let me know how you would put these things to use. And we would select a winner on one of the January episodes of the Observe Tech podcast. And with today, episode 78 or 7.8, however you want to refer to it, being the final episode of January 2013, since it is the last day of the month, at least it is still here where I'm sitting in the East Coast of the United States, we have picked our winner, and it is Joshua Grzbowski. Joshua is a student who lugs a full-size keyboard and mouse with him and his Surface back and forth to school where he's a student and studying all kinds of different subjects. He lugs a full-size keyboard and mouse in his backpack to make his Surface a workstation when he's in classes to be able to take notes and things of that nature. So we have decided we are going to lighten his backpack a little bit, and we're going to ship him the Microsoft Wedge Touch mouse and keyboard so that he can replace those full-size devices and have a little less weight in his backpack to be able to use his Surface when he's in the classroom. So congratulations, Joshua. As you listen to this, you need to hit me up on Twitter so we can arrange the shipment of the devices. And congratulations to you, and thanks to everybody for participating in the contest. I appreciate all the feedback and all the info on how you would use these devices. They really are a unique set of hardware, so I'm glad to be able to share them, and I thank Microsoft Hardware as well for letting me give those away to a listener and a follower on WindowsObserver.com. So with that, happy end of January 2013, and here comes February before we know it. We're already a month into the new year. So until next time, please keep things safe, update all your software, and stay safe on the internet. Take care.